Well, good morning. That was a fun group there, the kids' sermon. That was a treat. Well, my name is Sandy Silverthorn. I know a few of you. I won't tell you my whole story. It'll take too long. I have a friend, though, who is a retired pastor. He used to pastor down in Cottage Grove. And he is now a chaplain at a convalescent place near, well, not that near, it's up in Canby, I guess, where he lives, near where he lives. And he goes there 3 times a week. And he walked in a few weeks ago, and he's telling me this last week on the phone. He walked in a few weeks ago, and there was a sign on the front desk that said, "No seeking Jesus today." And he was kind of taken aback because that's pretty much his job. And he thought, he was kind of shocked by that. He wasn't sure exactly what that meant, but he went, "Well, I'm gonna seek Jesus today. I'm gonna visit people." And that's what he did. And he started and he kind of went through the day. It was still a little odd. As the day progressed, he realized there was a group of women who got together once a week and worshiped and did a Bible study, and the name of the group was Seeking Jesus. So apparently someone was ill, or maybe they didn't have a room for him that day, but anyway, no seeking Jesus today. That was the answer. Well, let me pray, and then we'll get into my message for you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for a chance to worship you this morning. Thank you for a chance to hear from your word, Lord. Your word is our life, and you know that as we read and hear from your word, you want to impart life to each one of us, Lord. So please do that. Open up our ears and our hearts. Lord, speak through me. I pray that anything that's just of me would just come to fall to the light, to the side. But anything that is of you, Lord, would plant in our heart just like seeds during this beautiful spring season, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my message today is entitled, Wait in the Water. How many of you love waiting for things? Okay, I don't really have my hand up. I'm only demonstrating what that means. I'm as bad as anybody about waiting. I'm thinking we don't have to wait nowadays. If you really think about it, we have Google. It is so funny. My wife and I will be talking about a movie or something, and I'll think, who was that actor? And she'll pull out her phone. Within 20 seconds, she knows who that actor was and all the other movies they've done. We don't have to wait. We've got instant information. We've got our phones. We've got our computers. We've got Google. We've got fast food. Friday, we went to go see a movie, and I had to wait probably an entire minute for the ticket to show up on my phone. That's when I realized I am just as bad as anybody else as far as being impatient and not waiting. And yet, I realize, as we're going to look at today's scripture, we'll discover that when God keeps us waiting, he's got a greater purpose in mind. There was an interesting study a while back on attention spans. I don't think this will surprise anybody, but in the year 2000, the normal human attention span was 12 seconds. That's still not great, is it? Okay, get ready. In 2022, it had reduced to 8 seconds. And again, I think it has a lot to do with our smartphones, but it has reduced to 8 seconds. To put that in context, a goldfish attention span is 9 seconds. So we're in trouble. We don't like to wait. Our attention span is shrinking. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in another 20 years. But we are definitely in trouble. But why don't we look at the scripture? It was read earlier, but I just want to look at it real quick. What was going on in the book of Joshua. They had been in, speaking of waiting, they'd been in the desert for 40 years. They finally got to the Jordan River, which was the border of their destination, the promised land. And as we heard earlier, God told them to have the priests hold the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence, and start marching forward into the water. So let me skip down here a little bit. They came out from the camp to cross over the Jordan when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to this Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. So this wasn't just a little stream. This was a flood. This was maybe like the Mississippi at that point. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam. Everyone say Adam. The city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. It's a wonderful miracle. The priests are leading out with the presence of God represented in this gold ark. If you've ever seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark, they did a pretty good job of recreating what the ark probably looked like. It was made of acacia wood, but covered completely by gold, and it represented the presence of God. Oh, in fact, we have an expert drawing of it here. I promised Carol and I would do some drawings for today's message. So here's one of the few actual pictures of the priests carrying the ark. But as you can see, they carried it. There were four of them. They had poles, and they would carry the ark that way because God's presence is always carried by people. Turn to the person next to you and say, God's presence is always carried by people. Yeah. That's a whole different sermon, but that's... So they are carrying the ark. God tells Joshua to tell them to step into the Jordan. So that's what they do. They step into the Jordan, and the water is cut off. Let's take a look at our map here, Kim. 20 miles upstream. Now, when you're reading that, you kind of go, oh, the waters were cut off at Adam across from Zaratan. But my study Bible alerted me to this. It said Adam was actually 19 miles upstream. Now, I've spent the last week trying to study water flow, and I can't find it anywhere. But basically, it would be like cutting off the McKenzie River about at Walterville. And we're in Armitage Park, basically. So I don't know how long it took for the water to stop down here with these priests standing in the thing. Yeah, from what I can tell, I may be totally wrong. God may have done it earlier, and by the time they stepped in... But what it looks like to me is God did the miracle 20 miles upstream, but the priests and all the people, by the way, were unaware of it for 20 minutes, an hour, 5 hours. I don't know how long it took for the water to dry up, but I see that and I think, oh my gosh, I'm sure they were standing there going, Joshua, are you sure this is happening? Because some of them had witnessed the Red Sea opening up, and according to that, it looked like it was pretty instantaneous. Moses stood there. We've all seen the movie. And it opened up pretty instantaneously. I don't think this was instant, and I think, well, obviously God did it on purpose. But what was he doing in the priests, Joshua, and even in the people's minds as they waited? What's the deal? God did the miracle, but it took a while to see the results. Have you ever felt that way? you have been praying for a situation for a long time. It might be a medical prognosis. It might be a prodigal child. It might be a job. Could be a marriage, provision. You're praying, you love God, you know He loves you, but you're still standing in the water and it's still knee deep or even waist deep and you're not seeing anything happen. We've all been there where we have been praying and praying and believing and just looking for a sign. And you know what? The water may be stopping up in Adam, but we're not seeing the difference down here yet. So how do we respond when we don't see any movement? Well, we could easily give up. We could say, I knew it. I knew this prayer thing didn't work. And you could actually just completely give up and just say, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Or we could blame. The Israelites had a problem with that throughout those 40 years. If something didn't happen, they immediately blamed Moses, right? Every single time it seemed like, who do we blame when something's not happening? You know what? I love all the songs we sang today about God's forgiveness. You might even be blaming yourself. Why would God ever answer my prayer? Look at how I talk. Look how I think. Look how I act. I'm such a sinner. Why would God ever answer my prayer? We might be blaming ourselves. And then here's the one I'm guilty of. We pray, no answer comes. I'm standing in the water, and I get fearful and come up with plan B, right? Well, maybe if we got a nice raft, we could get one at a time. We could go over the Jordan. Or I'm sure there's got to be a bridge around here somewhere. We come up with a plan B. Well, Abraham tried that several thousand years or hundreds of years before this. But that obviously isn't what God wants for us. Why does God keep us waiting? Well, could it be that God wants to use the waiting time for us to draw closer to Him? There's a great quote from Elizabeth Elliot. Waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty. How many of you hate uncertainty? Am I the only one? To bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question, lifting the heart to God about it whenever it intrudes upon one's thoughts. Basically, what she's saying is waiting. We're still bearing. We're still believing. And every time that doubtful thought comes to us, we lift that up to the Lord. God wants to use this to draw us closer to Him. So, what do we do while we're waiting? Well, the first thing we should do is talk to God about it. And you know what? Be really honest with Him. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart to the Lord. That's one of my favorite scriptures. Pour out your heart to the Lord. We don't have to come up with all the right words. We can even tell Him we're disappointed with Him. Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but I don't like it. But pour out your heart to the Lord. And then continue to draw closer to Him as you're going through the waiting period. The one thing the enemy of our soul wants us to do is to desert the Lord and to walk away from Him. But if the waiting draws us closer to God, then it's totally worth it. So pour out your heart to God. Talk to God about it. Be honest. Tell Him your frustration. Tell Him the things you're thankful for. Tell Him that you're hanging in there. But talk to God about it. Please remember to talk to Him. What's the next thing we can do is we need to listen. There may be something that God wants us to do in the meantime. There may be something, not that it's up to us, we don't perform miracles, but maybe there's a way God wants us to align ourselves so we can receive the miracle. Maybe there's some unforgiveness Maybe there's some unfinished business. Maybe there's just a little adjustment in our life, our prayer life, our thought life, to align ourselves to be able to receive that. So we talk to God about it. We listen. And if we can, while we're listening, we're also hopefully being thankful and worshiping. That's sometimes the hardest thing. Sometimes you're going through a rough thing and it's really hard to be thankful. But if you can, sometimes I even pray, Lord, help me to even desire to be thankful. That's like my first step as I'm listening for what does he want me doing? And that may be talking to other people and getting good counsel too, or prayer, reading the word, and just sometimes just in silence, listening to him. He wants to talk to you. He wants us to be open to what he wants to say. And then finally, what do we do here when while we're waiting is get to know God better. Several years ago, my wife and I inherited a pickup truck and some household items. It was down in Southern California. So we were down there, and so we drove the pickup truck home. It wasn't a new pickup truck, but it worked fine and everything. Well, one of the items that we inherited was a big television set. Now, most of you look like you might remember when television sets were this big and this wide. We're not talking slim screen here. This was one of those big black ones, you know. And so we carried it in the back of the pickup truck. And we're driving home up here to Eugene. And it was getting to be dark and nighttime, so we decided to stop. And we found a motel. And we pulled in, and I had this thing, oh, I don't want to leave the TV in the back of the pickup truck because it could get stolen. I didn't really want to put it on the seat either because it's so obvious. In fact, I'm not even sure it would have fit. So my wife and I, it was big, so we carried it. And I felt better about having it in the room with us. So we did that and had a good night's sleep. Next day, we all pack up. And then, of course, we got to bring the TV back to the truck. So, and we're on the second floor, so we're walking down the steps, my wife and I carrying this big black TV that looked exactly like the ones that were in the motel room. You're way ahead of me here. And we're walking down. It looked exactly like the black TVs that were in the motel room. And we're walking down, and all of a sudden it hits me. I go, Vicki, this looks really funny. Fortunately, nobody saw us, and we got it to the truck. But I thought later on, and who knows, maybe somebody did see us, but if one of the other guests just happened to look out the way, Harold, that couple that seemed so nice, they said they were Christians, are stealing the TV from the room. Do you think ours will come off? Because it looked one way. Absolutely. Anybody, you bring 50 people in there, line them up, and watch us carry the TV down. It looks exactly like we're stealing it out of the room. But there was another explanation. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's another explanation. Sometimes when we look at what God is doing, including making us wait, and we don't see the behind-the-scenes activity going on, it looks one way. But I want to assure you, God is saying, there's got to be another explanation. Now, if we were walking down the stairs carrying this big black TV, and Carolyn over there peeked out the window and saw it, she'd say, all indications look like Sandy and Vicki are stealing that TV, but I know them, and I know there's got to be another explanation because I've known them for years, and I know they don't steal things out of motel rooms. So what I'm saying is, during the waiting time, use that opportunity to get to know God a little bit better, so that when these times come of waiting or trouble or loss, that you remember, this looks one way, but I know God, so there's got to be another explanation. I'm going to wrap up with this. This is something I discovered just this week. The Hebrew word for wait is, I think it's pronounced kaveh. Hebrew word kaveh primarily conveys the idea of waiting with anticipation or hope. It's often used in the context of looking forward to something with eager expectation. It's not just waiting. When are they going to come? It's waiting and anticipating. This is coming, and I know it's coming, and I'm excited. But here's the part I want you to see, and we'll wrap up with this. The term can also imply a sense of gathering or binding together, as in intertwining of strands to form a cord symbolizing strength or unity. I think the best illustration of that would be, it's like a three-legged race. How many of you have ever done a three-legged race at a picnic or an event like that? So what do? You have another person, you tie your one leg together, and then what do you have to do? You got to figure out a strategy, because if you both go every direction, it's not going to work. You have to what? Sync up. That's what the word kaveh means. Beside waiting, it means to sync up, to get in stride with God. I just discovered that this week, and I thought, oh my gosh, isn't that a great illustration of how God wants us to wait, to not just wait in anticipation, although that's part of it, but during that time to not miss the opportunity to sync up with God, to get in the flow with Him just a little bit more. We're never going to perfect it, but every time we have to wait, every time God's doing something behind the scenes that we don't see any evidence of, we need to remember there's got to be another explanation. And in the meantime, I'm going to use this time to get synced up with God, with my three-legged race. God wants us to use our waiting time for us to sync more closely to Him and His purposes. Full disclosure, sometimes when you have a guest speaker or a pastor, you even subconsciously you might be up there and say, oh, that's so great. Yeah, I bet he's got it all together. While I was preparing this message last Monday and Tuesday, I had one of those times. And I must confess before all you, my brothers and sisters, I was a wreck. If I woke up in the night, I was worrying about it. I felt helpless. I was anxious. And I went, well, this message is for me. I had to wait. Thankfully, I didn't have to wait very long. But I don't have it all together. Full disclosure, we're all on this journey together, aren't we? But I do want to encourage you that God may be working for you behind the scenes. The miracle might already be happening, and in its perfect timing, you'll see the results, and you may be a different person as a result of the waiting. Remember my children's message 20 minutes ago? I hope you do. I was thinking about this. The disciples got into the boat one way. They kind of knew Jesus. Do you think they were different after a storm? Jesus walking in the water, walking on the water, the storm calming down, and them immediately getting to the other side. They were different people on that side of the sea than they were when they got in the boat. That's what God wants to do with all of us in our waiting time, to change us to be more and more like His Son. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, it's hard for me to say this, but thank you for the waiting time. The waiting times that we have in our lives, Lord God. We're human, you know, we're just people, God. But so we're not always going to do it perfectly, just like I didn't this past week. But Lord, help us to remember that you're doing things in our waiting time. Lord, thank you for the fact that just like the Israelites at the Jordan, you might already be answering our prayers, and we're just waiting to see the revelation of that, Lord. Thank you so much for that. And Father, I pray that you would embed this into our hearts so that we would know not only that you're a loving God, but that you have deep, wonderful, rich plans for each and every one of us, Lord. I pray your blessing on this congregation, on each family represented here. And God, help us to realize that when we're waiting, you're doing a shaping process in us, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit would help each one of us in the waiting times to remember that you are good and your timing is perfect. In Jesus' name, amen.